You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
From a lucrative career in financial markets to an even tastier one in food, Johannesburg-born entrepreneur Brent Farley, now CEO of Linker Meats, which is South Africa's biggest exporter of pork, joins this week's Executive Lounge to discuss his entrepreneurial journey and whether we should still be worried about food shortages in some parts of the country following the recent riots. Brent, thanks so much for joining the show. Should we still be worried about the lack of food, given that it seems like most things are returning to normal with the riots themselves having cooled down?
Yeah, hi Fifi, and thanks very much for having me on your show. Absolutely not. We don't have to be worried. Look, we're one of the largest producers of pork in South Africa. At any one point in time, we probably have about sort of 4 to 5 million kilograms in stock anyway. So no, the very short answer is we've got a lot of stock and sufficient stock to feed the country for some time to come. So no worries whatsoever.
Yeah, I wonder how much bacon and ham and sausages come out from that stock. But were your operations in any way impacted by what we saw? Because I do know that Linker Meats is a major supplier of many of the retailers that people shop at.
Yes, so we were significantly impacted. It was a complete shock to the system from a farmer supply perspective. We had about 400 tons liberated in Durban port, so that was a big setback for us. We import a lot of ribs for our spare rib plant. A lot of our KZN farmers were very badly affected because they supply abattoirs into KZN who were essentially disabled. They were looted and burnt. So there has been a big disruption. But it seems to be kind of the pigs seem to be finding their way to markets through different channels now. But it was a major shock, I have to say.
Clarify, liberated. What did you mean there?
Looted. Looted. Mm. So
what a polite way to put it.
We had product in a cold store in Durban port. Took them 3 days to kind of loot all the product that was there.
So what's the situation like now?
Look, I mean, getting that product is gone. The situation now is we carry on. Supply chain has been disrupted, so there are major disruptions to supply chain, but retail buyers are just buying from alternative sources. But there is a disruption, and it is going to take us some time to overcome all those challenges that we have.
Brent, you're no stranger to tough times. I mean, having dealt with the blow that Zimbabwe's economic situation dealt to your business when you were forced to close. So what do you make of the current challenge in South Africa now with these riots and the pandemic and even the weak economy? What's your sense on how we emerge and how Linker Meats comes out of this?
Yeah, as you say, I've had my challenges in the past through businesses in Zimbabwe. I think this is quite a different situation, to be honest. And as South Africans are a tough lot, we generally look at things as a glass half full with opportunities. So, you know, the way we're approaching this is there are opportunities, and we're going to rather focus on where the opportunities are than looking behind us.
So what stood out for me as I was going through your CV is that you also worked at Arthur Andersen. I just know from the history books that this is the audit firm that eventually collapsed after the whole Enron scandal that was likened to the modern Steinhoff accounting scandal. What was it like working for the firm? What were the lessons that you took as a young businessman, and how have you applied them?
Yeah, so I was actually working in London at the time for Arthur Andersen when everything imploded. And I think that was possibly my first lesson that, you know, you can work for the biggest company in the world and tomorrow you don't have a job. So I guess that's given me a lot of resilience and grit, I think, and to always plan for the unexpected.
And the irony being that you started, or when you arrived at Linker Meats, it wasn't the major player that it is right now. You were behind the transformation of it from a family-run business into now a leading player in the pork industry. How did that come about?
What came about is quite a surprise to go from, as you say, from financial markets into this small little family business that we bought into. I must say that it had a lot of challenges. The biggest challenges were cash flow. Cash flow in any small little business is very, very difficult. And really, your biggest challenge in a small business is to actually find the funding and actually get yourself out of the working capital rut that you find yourself in. So really, again, it's about grit and determination and putting one foot forward after the other, I guess.
Can I add in a cheeky question? As you mentioned, cash flow and just going back to the riots and also the pressure economically, what does this mean for the prices that, you know, me and Ed here in studio and the listeners are expected or will likely be paying for pork in future?
It's a good question. So, you know, those pigs were and pork was going into established markets that were already there through established suppliers. Some of those suppliers are not operational now. So I think actually, funnily enough, short term, the prices are going to go down as people need to move stock very, very quickly. Obviously, meat is something that can go off. So, you know, we're sitting in a situation where we need to move pork quickly. Obviously, when you've lost, let's say, 400 tons of stock in a cold store, you've got cash flow. That cash flow is gone. So you need to make it up. So I think short term prices might actually go down. And then as the supply chain, as people try and fill up that supply chain, I think prices are going to go up a bit. We're already seeing our import, you know, where we import from the countries we import are sort of being opportunistic in knowing now that there's a break in the supply chain and are putting their prices up.
That's so interesting. Well, Ed has told me here in studio that he doesn't eat pork. It's fine. That's more pork for me. So how are you dealing with that then? With, you know, the external environment, prying on your weakness? I don't know if I have put it correctly there.
Yes. Yeah, so look, I mean, as a business strategy, we've earmarked pork as a really competitive protein. So what you have seen over time is that beef and lamb and even chicken are becoming a lot more expensive, and pork is actually filling a gap. So, you know, the biggest opportunity for the industry is actually to market pork and to get people who, not for religious reasons, just haven't really eaten pork. You know, we want to try and get those guys to eat pork, and then hopefully our industry will grow over time.
Yeah. Your industry also is an industry that seems to be hit with a whole lot of, I don't know if it's animal-related challenges or animal-related sicknesses. I mean, I'm talking about, you hear of a swine flu, and then afterwards we're recently coming from listeriosis as this country. How do you deal with those risks?
Yeah, I must say the industry has been kind of beset with a lot of challenges. You had the foot and mouth challenge. You had listeriosis challenge. You've now had the recent ASF challenge, African swine fever. So yes, we're an industry that's not surprised at the challenges that come our way. You obviously need a strong balance sheet to kind of withstand all these forces, and you need very strong biosecurity on farm level and on plant level. You know, very good food safety standards, biosecurity standards. Those are very, very important to the industry.
You know, we didn't even mention the fact that, I mean, our hospitality and entertainment industry, travel industry also is kind of, you know, locked down, given the fact that we're still trying to grapple against this pandemic. I mean, what has that meant for your business?
Yeah, so we've been very badly affected. Our business, you know, we're not really a brand that anyone would know. But if you're going to your favorite restaurant or your favorite fast food, or, you know, you're eating in your canteen at work, there's a good chance you're eating our bacon when you have your breakfast. So, you know, that the last year and a bit has been challenging, to say the least. That side of our business has been very, very badly affected.
Most entrepreneurs that I've spoken to in my time as a journalist have this very strange way of seeing, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel and opportunity through a difficult time. And I'm just interested in your mindset right now and the kind of opportunities that you are seeing in what is still a difficult environment for most people.
Yes, no. So as I say, I think, you know, certainly from my personal perspective, I've always been a positive person. I love South Africa. I love the opportunities. I love the people. And through any really challenging time, as you can probably hear, we've been through a few, you know, there's always actually some opportunities that come out of these challenging times. So I think it's really a case of looking for the opportunities versus looking and feeling a bit sorry for yourself.
Because even before this recent episode, we had a major problem with unemployment. And we've heard from our president recently warning that probably more job losses would be forthcoming. And at the same time, we always hear how smaller businesses or businesses in the smaller to medium space are those that are going to be the savior to the potential yeah. jobs crisis. So how, in your view, how do businesses like Linker Meat, small to medium enterprises live up to that hope or expectation? What needs to happen also from a national level, a business environment level, to enable you to do so?
Yeah, so you know, to answer your first part of your question, we were a small little business in Mayerton, probably employing somewhere around about 180 people. We now employ 1,300 people. And that's really just been through growth, through growing the business. We've grown our business through great people. What can the government do? The government need to empower little businesses like us, who are now not so little, cut out red tape, cut out bureaucracy, make business easier, create confidence. Those are things that a government needs to create infrastructure. You know, we can't operate a business here if we've got unreliable electricity or water or municipal issues. So those are all issues that need to government needs to support us to run seamlessly, I guess, without having to worry about all those things.
Yeah, Brett, I think a lot of people in the space will agree with you, but we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing your story and your lessons and your positivity. I think that positive optimism will be the theme for today's show. That was Brent Farley, the CEO of Linker Meats.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.